Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. It's a beautiful summer day, and we are going to be transported into the world of fable and magic today. So I hope you'll sit back, relax, and enjoy the journey. My guest is Egan Sanders. The wonderful book that he put together is called The Magic Box. And Egan, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, where are you located, Egan? Are you in Denver, Colorado?
Yes, I am.
Now, I want to ask you something. You are an intuitive counselor.
Mm-hmm.
You have been involved in speaking. You enjoy teaching. You've organized certain events. You've gotten involved in publishing. The environment's very important to you. Why is it that you decided you were going to do a fable, fiction?
Well, I originally wrote The Magic Box about 12 years ago. I've been studying, you know, motivational and metaphysical inspirational literature for many, many years, probably about over 20 years. And back in 1996, I just sort of spontaneously wrote The Magic Box. I didn't really plan on writing a story like that, a short story or a book in that format. But I wrote it. It did it in a couple of weeks. And then it kind of sat around for a couple of years. But the main thing I was trying to do with the book was to write something that was short and inspirational, but that would have key points so that when people would read the inspirational story, it would motivate them. And in the second part of the book, there'd be a step-by-step process that would allow them to practically apply steps to manifesting what they wanted to manifest, what they desire.
I'd like to ask you a question. I believe that writing is frequently a very intuitive process because it's one that I've found has been very much in effect in my life. How did you discover your own intuitive skills?
Well, I was born with my intuitive abilities. I'm primarily empathic, which means I feel the feelings of other people, but all of my psychic channels are open. When I was a little boy, I just was very sensitive, and I would feel the emotions of other people. Before the age of five, I would talk to my family about past lives, you know, and I would see things. I just was a very odd kid. I would just do weird things. Like one time, I just spontaneously started doing yoga poses, and I did a whole yoga routine. And like, what is this? What are you doing? And you know, so I would do these strange things. And then as I got older, I sort of forgot about them, but they would tell me these stories about when I was a little kid, and I would have these, you know, strange things I would say and do.
And so then you evolved through a period of your life and you decided that you were going to dedicate yourself to this environment. And lo and behold, you evolved into the phenomenal world of writing, where there's absolutely no limits whatsoever. I liked what you had in the preface of your book, and I'm going to read it verbatim. You said, in our technological age, it's easy to lose the childlike appreciation of everyday wonders. And the latest gadget seems less impressive as we're inundated with machine after machine built to improve our lives. But humans need more than science. Magic speaks to our deepest dreams. It concerns our desire to influence the natural world. Magic promises an imaginative way to create the new, change our lives, and affect the future. What is magic to you?
It's hard to say. You know, it's interesting. If you study enough philosophy and religion and metaphysics, and if you're really honest with yourself, you come to the realization that we really don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of ideas. So the way I define magic is, and by no means am I an expert on it, but the way I define magic is simply that when something unexplained happens, but it's positive, although there can be bad magic, so for me, as I related to creating a reality or creating the life that you prefer, it's when you take an action on your dream and the universe, through a mysterious set of circumstances, delivers to you lessons or what you want to manifest. So that's kind of a way. It's like the unexplainable. but that positive things, miraculous things.
Well, so many people, when they think of magic, it's as if it's something that's out of their control totally. And for others, it would be the total effect of illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we create an illusion so that we get the results that we want? So you have many different perspectives to magic, but I wanted to get your feedback on what yours was. Now, the magic box, you say it took you 2 weeks to write this, and it starts off about a little boy.
Right. I wrote the original draft in 2 weeks, but years later, I started 12 years ago, I spent much more time on it. So
mm-hmm.
I don't want people to think that I just cranked this out, because writing, even though it's only a short book of 120 pages, it's laborious, because to get all the ideas into it, to make sure that when we wrote it, and to make sure that each word, each idea was in there clearly, there's lots of levels to it. It took a lot of time, so it was more than 2 weeks. Although I would have loved for it to only take 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And you have your chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But let's start off, because this is a story actually about someone's life. And it starts out when they're quite young. And it's a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's with his mom. And he has to go out, and he's in a forest. You've set it in a theme where he's out in the natural environment, and he encounters a very special person. Who is that person?
Well, it's a wizard, or what you might call as a sage. And basically, there are different archetypes in the book, but when the boy, in the beginning of the book, meets the wizard, the wizard says, "Look, I have this magic box. And whatever you wish for, if you put a wish inside the box, it'll come true." So that's why it's called the magic box. And so the story begins when he's young, and it kind of leads through to the end of his life about how he kept on going back and asking for different things, and learning from the wizard, learning about life and how to become a more well-developed person.
I really liked the various perspectives you gave with the little boy, because he had a stuttering problem. And what I liked about it was there wasn't an instantaneous fix, but the wizard asked him if he had observed certain things, and he said, "Yes, I have." And then he said, "Well, do you believe that can happen in other areas?" And it was as if he was teaching the young child how to think differently. And metaphysics does that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what we're learning in this process. I know it's the current fashion with certain books and movies that have come out recently that, you just sort of do an affirmation or a prayer, or you wallpaper your house with fake $1 million bills, and then, money flies out of the sky or something. But my experience of being like a scientist, even though I've written some fiction, I try to apply things in a practical way. So for me, I tried out all sorts of different approaches about manifesting. And what I found generally is that it's more of a circle than a straight line. And so in the book, the character, he asks for things. He gets clear about what he wants, and he asks for different things over his lifetime. But he suffers a little bit. It's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always happen when he wants it to. And so he has to learn about patience and persistence, and also, trust, trusting that there's a higher good, a higher intelligence that's really, watching out for him.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, the wizard has his magic words when the little boy puts his first wish in the box. And the wizard does not let him linger over the box. He said, "You just put in your wish and leave it there." And I love the words of "good God gold." GGG.
Right. In the there's a chant. I'm not a big magician. I don't, there's different groups like Wicca or paganism where they use more ritual, and not that I'm an expert by any chance, but the words have a meaning that's a little bit more deeper, that good is the higher good or the goodness that you ask for. Gold is what we value, and being clear on your values, and God really is the higher power. So everything the wizard is doing with the boy and into his adulthood is to try to make him aware of these different principles, not just asking for stuff, but also raising his conscious awareness of these different things, because whatever we focus on really does grow and become more obvious to us.
And sometimes it can become bigger than what we originally envisioned it to be.
Sure.
And that's part of the magic of your story. One of the other aspects that I enjoyed was the note of appreciation that the child expressed. Because when he had his wish, his first wish, and of course, folks, you're going to have to read the book to find out what the wishes are, but the first wish that he had, when it was fulfilled, and he went back, he made a point of saying, thank you, I appreciate it. And that I noticed throughout your book was that this particular character that starts out as a child learning these lessons always had the expression of appreciation and gratitude.
Yeah, I found that when you express gratitude, it makes your heart lighter. And I found that in my own life, I've had a lot of ups and downs. But if I've always remained grateful, you know, even for negative things or even when I've received something, I generally feel better, and it's created a lot of opportunities. A lot of the things that actually happen in the book happen to me. It's sort of a fictional account of things that happened in my life, you know, that were sort of mirrored with the boy, with his healing, and other things that happened with him. And, you know, my feeling is that I always have a profound gratitude for teachers and teachings and anybody who's helped me, or even opportunities. So what I want to say to a lot of the listeners who are listening is that even when something as negative is happening, it's always an opportunity for growth or to learn something. And if we keep that attitude, we can transform what can be seen as negative or troublesome into something that's actually positive.
Part of what is in the book, too, and we advance, and this is in chapter 2, the little boy has matured into, let's say, a young teenager.
Right.
And things are really, really tough. The village that he's living in, people are starving. They have gone through and are going through a very serious drought. And during this year, these years of growth, he hasn't really interacted with the wizard, but he goes and he seeks him out again.
Yeah, it's a thing. If you ever do counseling or with any type of people, what typically happens is they don't contact you when things are good. They call you when things are bad. So that's kind of the thing that he learns, is that, and as he gets older, he begins to embody a lot of what the wizard is doing. But the great thing about the wizard is that when the teenager now shows up, now that he's grown up, the wizard doesn't judge him, he doesn't criticize him, he just says, okay, well, now you're ready. So a lot of times when we're suffering or when we have challenges, that's an opportunity, it's a call to action, you know, to go and seek out help from a higher source.
And with this experience, because he goes and he talks to the wizard, and the wizard says the magic box always works. And he goes through the same little ritual, and the young man says, well, we want to correct this condition that's in the village.
Mm.
And so again, he does the magic words, good, God, gold, and he just brings that all together. And the young man goes away, even though his stomach is empty, even though he's wearing rags, his whole mindset has changed.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had that experience where you're really struggling with something, and you see something on TV or you read something, and it just sort of, it's like we have our personality and we have our soul. And when the personality looks out the world, and it can only see what it can see, and sometimes there's no solution. But sometimes there's something that's beyond our minds, which you can think of as God as or our soul or something that inspires us, and it temporarily lifts us from the limited perspective of our personality, from what we can see at hand. And there's a healing that occurs because there's certain things we don't understand how they work, but intuitively we sense that there are solutions, that there's benevolence in the universe. And that's kind of what I was getting at within the book, was that we don't always understand what's happening, but if we're taking right action, you know, and we can trust, things do work out.
And as in the case of the young man, he found a gold mine, and it totally turned things around, and there's a special story with that. When we go into chapter 3, there was such a change in life, and he's very successful, but now he's older. Now he's in maybe about his 20s, and he decides he wants to settle down, And guess who he goes to see? That's right, the wizard.
Right.
Now, what is interesting is that this is maybe 20-plus years from the first time that he has seen the wizard, and the wizard is getting older.
Right.
He's getting very older. And he brings out the magic box again, and he said, okay, what is it that you want? But one of the things the wizard tells him is that when you put the wish in the box, don't be anxious about when the wish is going to be fulfilled. Don't be anxious over anything. And in this case, he was wanting to find the perfect wife.
Right.
And he said, the magic box will do what you ask. Releasing and trusting are two steps that I think are two of the most difficult steps for anybody to adopt in their life.
Sure. I think it's about control. You know, we like to be in control. There's a workshop that I teach called Opening to Receive, and we talk about receiving and giving. And if you think about it, when you're giving, you're in control. You know, if I give you a present or something, I can choose what I'm going to give you or when I'm going to give it to you. I'm in control. But when we're receiving, we have to kind of wait. We can't, you know, we don't have the control. We have to, you know, if we're receiving from other people or the universe, we don't have control. So, you know, there's like a perfect timing to things. And sometimes if we get something too soon, it's not the right timing. If it's too late, it's not the right timing. But again, it's not something our conscious mind understands. So we have to be patient. You know, and any great master or spiritual teacher will tell you that, you know, it's you take what action you can take, and then you have to trust that, you know, for the right opportunity. You know, and so in the story, that's kind of what happens for the character. You know, and it happened in my own life where I was looking for a relationship, and I kept on hitting roadblocks and roadblocks. And then I met a woman, and that was it. You know, there was no other effort. It was really not about efforting after a while. It was simply about showing up.
And that is really profound wisdom. So you weave a beautiful story segment around that. And I liked the way you put your words together. Trust and patience oil the magical machinery of the universe. Because you trusted your own wishes and desires, you received more good than you could have imagined. And I think so many times because we're bombarded with different shows and we'll have people saying, well, do A, B, C, D, and E, and this is what you're going to get. You're going to get X, Y, Z, and you find out, well, I've gone through A, B, C, D, and E, and it's not working. What's wrong with me? There may not be anything wrong with you. But like you said, it may take some time, and it may take going through different points of learning so that when the opportunity really does come to you, you're going to be ready for it. You're not going to have to go through 20 years of preparation because you will already have done the preparation. You're fine-tuned and ready to accept. I think when dealing with a relationship of a particular man who wrote 6 pages of fine-lined paper describing the type of person he wanted to be married to, I mean, can you imagine that? 6 pages. Fine lines here. Writes everything out. What does he do? He ends up getting married to someone that's exactly the opposite of what he described. And I love this. I just think it's so cool. 3 years after he makes the list, he goes through some very, very difficult times that caused a shift in his thinking. And then he goes to an event and he meets the woman that he ends up being married to.
Yeah. I think it's... Whenever we want to create something in our lives, we have to build up a structure to have the belief structure, the emotional structure to maintain it. So I notice that when I get clients and they're saying, well, I'm trying to manifest this, it's not working, usually we then go look at the belief, not with their affirmations. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Hello? Uh-oh. I think we lost our guest. Something happened to their telephone line. Egan, are you there? Yes. So if Don, my engineer, if he's listening, then we have lost him. So what I'm going to do, I am just going to chat a while because I know Egan will call back. I have no idea what happened to his phone line, but I heard it go click, click, and that was it. So we'll be talking more about the magic box. We've got a couple of more chapters. It's wonderful the way stories can come together. And Egan Sanders has done a wonderful job with this. And it's the type of story... story that you can read and sort of digest a little bit at a time, and then you go into some other aspects. It's really quite interesting. Well, while I'm waiting for Egan to call back, because I know that, again, something happened to the telephone line. I heard that distinct click. I want to give you his email, not his email, his websites. And it's egansaunders.com. That's EGANSANDERS.com.
I am
Hello.
Back.
There you go. There you are, Egan.
I disappeared. I just took a little side trip to the astral plane, but I figured I'd come back.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad
it's magic. It's magic.
Yes, I'm glad there's a quick transportation system there. That's really cool. Let's go into when this young man, now he's gotten married, and he is living a very rich life, but he goes to find the wizard, and he finds that the wizard isn't there.
Well, you actually skipped to the very end. There was actually one other thing that happened in between that, if you recall. The book is based on four manifestations: health, wealth, love, and expression, or wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so after he manifests the first three, one thing he does before the wizard disappears is that he asks for enlightenment. And just so the listeners will know this, my book is dedicated to Joseph Murphy, or dedicated to Joseph, and that's actually Joseph Murphy, who was a very well-known science of mind minister in the 50s and the 60s.
Yes.
He wrote a book called The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Murphy was really a great, and yet humble being who really taught people about mind treatment and prayer. And he always broke it down to the four things that people want, more or less, are either health, wealth, love, and expression. So what I wanted to put in the magic box is that after kind of our physical needs are met, you know, and our you know, finances and health and, you know, relationship-wise, what we're all kind of seeking is, you know, you can call it different things, spiritual growth or wisdom or enlightenment. And that's actually the fourth thing that the main character asked for in the magic box.
Yes. And in asking for that, the wizard knew that this was someone he could pass this information along to.
Right.
And that comes to the time in life when, if we're wise and if we have grown through our experiences, we know that our legacy is to pass on our knowledge to someone else. And the wizard knew that. And so, as you said, I jumped ahead a little bit, but
right.
I'm glad you filled in that one space. And then he himself becomes the teacher.
Yeah, I don't want to give away the exact ending, but we kind of learn what one of the things that runs through the book is that the main character keeps on trying to figure out how is the magic box working. He can't figure out what, you know, is it magic? What's it, you know, he's trying to figure out what the science of it is. And at the very last few pages of the book, we you know, the secret behind the magic box is revealed, what the wizard was doing, and it's sort of passed on. So that's an old archetype that you'll find in many stories where the master, you know, transmits the teachings to the student. And then when the student kind of has it, the master is no longer relevant, so he kind of, you know, disappears. And that's kind of more or less what happens with the finale of the book, is that, you know, the knowledge is passed, and now in a sense the main character is a wizard in a way.
And not only that, but in this book, you also tell people how they can create their own magic box and how to use the magic box. In doing this, how has this transformed your life? You can't write something like this and not have it affect you. How has it changed you putting this book together?
Again, it was a 12-year period. I went through a lot of different, you know, processes with it. I think for myself, I think my particular skill is in simplifying complex ideas. And I think in trying to create your reality, which everybody's trying to do one way or the other, it can be very complex. So my goal with the book and how it transformed me was, my first goal was to give an inspirational story that would be like, you know, the jolt of energy you get from drinking some, you know, a good cup of coffee. That's like the inspirational part of the story. You read the end of the story, you get to the end of it, and you're like, oh, that's how it worked. And then you feel inspired. And then the second part of the book is a step-by-step process on how to manifest, you know, in
mm-hmm.
You know, your goals. How it transformed my life, well, it was over many, you know, years, but for myself, I found that essentially, even though you can do your affirmations and prayers and do these things, you have to take action. If you take action, then the universe starts to give you feedback. It could be a small action, it could be a large action, but, I mean, even in the last, I would say, 2 years, I've probably been more productive and have accomplished more things in the past 2 years because I've simply been using the formula of using my intuition but taking my taking action as well.
The magic box. Now, you have in the back of the book, and I'm just going to open this up here to the segment. By the way, for those of you listening, if you'd like to find out more, he's got two websites that you can go to. It's egansanders.com. And that's EGANSANDERS.com. And you can go to Agni Publishing. That's AGNEPublishing.com. And you can get your information there. But he has the simple steps to manifesting the heart's desire. You bring up a little information about luck. But I just want to go through here. I'm looking for something in particular that I found. But, oh, you've even got the chant. I've got the book in front of me. That's what
Yeah, there's a little section, basically the first part of the story, and then I have a small section which talks about the elements of the magic box, which describes the symbols on it and the chant and some of the other things. And then the part three is the part like how to use your magic box, which is the actual steps, the process for manifesting what you want.
And then I just wanted to close out with, you say, be flexible. Be patient, trust, persist, and you can become a wizard too.
Right.
Of course, that's just a condensation there. I think that so many times, Egan, it's very difficult for us, depending on our indoctrination, to recognize that we carry within ourselves this phenomenal magic, I'll use that, that enables one to step out of how other people may perceive us or how we perceive ourselves. I think that's even more important.
Mm.
We put ourselves in boxes lots of times. And unless we have the opportunity to explore, like this character does, as a little boy begins the exploration by happening to come in contact with a wizard. But he goes and he uses the wizard more, you know, again and again, not every day.
Right.
But interacts with a wizard so that he has the support and what I'd call the outside vision of his own capabilities that he's able to join hands with and actually then see a demonstration. And I think your story is very good because as a parable, and I think it's one of the best ways to teach is through
sure.
a parable. I think that's really the way that our hearts and minds are touched because it allows us to safely go into spaces where our imaginations can expand and grow. And I think too many times we need to allow ourselves to do that. But we do. We put ourselves in boxes and we say we're yellow, we're black, we're white, we're green, we're whatever. And we're more than that.
Yeah, one of the I studied with many teachers, and I think one of the revelations that I had over the last couple of years was, you know, we have a belief about something. It can be anything, you know, and we say this is the way it is. But what was explained to me was there is no the way it is. You know, all beliefs have equal weight. So if you believe you can do it, you can do it. If you don't believe you can do it, you're right there. So all beliefs have equal weight. So anytime you have a belief about yourself and you feel like, okay, this is the way it is, this is immovable, consider from the moment that, you know, the universe is infinite, you know, and has all possibilities, and you're a reflection of it, and you can go to the opposite extreme. So if you think you can't, you actually can, if you're persistent, if you're willing to be open-minded about it.
Absolutely. The Magic Box is a charming, charming story. It's the type of story you could read to your children. You can discuss it with your children. What a wonderful way to put certain seeds of thought into a young mind. But remember, as adults, we need to plant the right kind of seeds in our minds as well so that we can grow and we can expand into our own potential. You're never too old to learn. And I just think it's great when you can pass it on. So, Egan, again, your website, egansanders.com, or Agne Publishing, that's EGNEPublishing.com. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Hi, I'm Kimmy Rose Aff. Here's a moment of awareness for you. If you're wanting to spend time and find silence, take a moment and take a deep breath in and just exhale and bring yourself into the space of where you can listen to each and every breath that you take. And as you do that, sounds from the outside and any thoughts from the inside that have been pulling you away from yourself from the day will suddenly disappear. You'll move into what we call a sacred silence, a silence that opens your...
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. I know we've got a caller. We'll be getting to that caller in just a moment. For those of you that are listening, here are the toll-free numbers that you can call into if you'd like to chat with me and receive a reading on the air. Telephone number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're from the Canadian area, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. All of those phone lines are available. We do, like I said, we do have a caller. And we're going to go to that caller, show you how it's done, and caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Margaret, and I'm calling from Phoenix.
Margaret, welcome to the show. Phoenix, Arizona, you are probably percolating like an old-fashioned coffee pot. From the heat, I bet.
And some humidity.
And humidity. You know, that's always interesting to me in Arizona. Because to me, Arizona always is a dry heat, but as populations grow and you have pools and all this kind of stuff, then you do actually develop a type of humidity. It's quite interesting. The same thing happened in California. I was born and raised in California, and I'm amazed at the humidity levels that we didn't have when I was growing up. Okay, let's get some insight on you, dear. The first thing that I'm looking at with you is travel. There is going to be an opportunity for short excursions, could be a day, could be maybe three, but just it's not a whole week. It's just these little excursions, and I'm looking at the fact that this might be related and associated with some kind of classes, training, but when you go, it's as if you have the time to go play, too. And I want to see, this is a great thing to do. So if you're going to be on business, let's say in another state, or maybe locally, add that little bit of extra time frame. So if you wanted to see certain sites, if you wanted to explore certain areas, just play for a little bit of time. That's a good thing to do because it's going to give you a balance. You must remember that if you intellectualize everything, if you just deal in just the area of mind all the time, you're not going to have that relaxation that you need otherwise. So take time to play because it's very, very important. And you're not going to have to spend a whole bunch of money to do it. I'm looking at you just so enjoying the environment that you're in and the people that you're with, and you're not having to spend thousands of dollars to do this. The long distance traveling eventually that you'd really like to do, and I'm seeing you having a chance to go to Holland, to areas of Scandinavia. I'm just seeing you loving that part of the world. You seem to like the lifestyle, and there's just something there that you have an empathy with. You just really enjoy the people. And you will have the opportunity to do that, and I'm seeing you on a tour with some people, and it's just going to expand your world in an absolutely wonderful, wonderful way. So travel is definitely coming up in the picture. But by the way, make sure you do regular maintenance checks on your vehicle because you're going to be doing a lot of driving. And if you have to winterize your car, if you have to do anything special, don't be chintzy. Go and have the work done so that you don't end up having major problems later on because they are going to be a lot more expensive to take care of. What would you like to ask me about today?
I wondered if I've been looking at houses lately to see about relocating nearby into a house. And there's one house that I like for many different reasons. It's on Highland Park, and I wondered if you saw that as being a positive for me.
Well, I think what you need to do, if you like the house, that's fine. But the biggest thing for you is you need to know, one, if you will qualify, and two, is this going to be comfortable for you financially? Because what I'm looking at are two steps. I think that there is going to be a place that you can buy that is not exactly what you want. However, it's something that you could be in, fix it up a little bit, and then you're going to be able to sell it. And you will have enough equity in it when you sell it that you'll then be able to upgrade into something.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.